434-1790, the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. We have another break at 12:30 for the latest. Good afternoon. Hello?
Hello?
Yes,
hello?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Hello, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
How are you? I'm okay.
Good.
Family is okay, too?
I'm all right.
Recognize the voice?
Hello?
Hello?
I didn't hear that last question.
No, I asked if you recognize the voice.
Yes, I recognize the voice, ma'am.
Okay. How was your vacation?
My vacation was fine.
Goodbye, Pastor Joseph.
Okay, ma'am. Thanks for the call. 434-1790. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello? Hello? The WhatsApp message says, you said something that people missed, I'm sure. You said in reference to your 21-year-old son, if he stays in Barbados. I've spoken with many Bajans who are encouraging their sons and daughters to leave Barbados to seek opportunities abroad because there's currently very little opportunity in Barbados. Let's hope that things change with this and any successive governments and that we can keep our young minds at home. So the problem with educating our young minds, as you call them, is that because of social media, because of the internet, because of the availabilities that present themselves and the opportunities that they see from not being housebound or Barbados-bound, they see their horizons a little bit wider perhaps than we did. And it's not that they don't want to contribute to the island or they don't see opportunities here. I think what stifles them is parental expectations more than anything else. And in a lot of cases, the only way they can free themselves from those expectations is to not be there physically. The old thing about finding a job with someone around you, or because you know someone, or because your family is connected, is wearing thin. And turning to government as an option is not the option either today, in today's environment. In conversation with one of the previous callers, the lady that stirred up a hornet's nest, she mentioned about every ministry having a driver messenger and all secretary, etc. My friend, colleague, fellow moderator, Peter Wickham, often says on the program that driver messengers are obsolete in today's online environment. But what is to stop a number of former driver messengers starting a courier service to be the courier for all the ministries rather than each ministry having a driver messenger and an SUV, you know, sitting down doing nothing? Why? So the thinking has to change and the way we do business has to change. And if we do not allow our young people that we've trained to be what they want to be that change, we'll frustrate them. Now, there are several countries that do very well for having their citizens overseas and send back money to them. That's one way of doing it, exporting your people. I heard someone talking on this program, a voice that I recognized from the hospitality industry, talking about allowing our permanent secretaries to export their expertise via the World Wide Web and make money for Barbados. So in other words, make it a revenue generating stream, a new stream of revenue generation. We have to think about things like that and find a way to do it rather than, you know, saying, well, this is how it has been for the last 50 odd years. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just heard a beep, so I guess it's my turn. If you just say my turn, I'll know me you're talking with.
I am talking to you.
Well, okay. Let's inject a little humor first. There was an electrician named Dennis who worked for 24 years, and he was doing some wiring. And his apprentice looked up and said to him, you know, you're connecting it wrong this time. And he says to the apprentice, a young whippersnapper, you can tell me what I'm doing? And his boss passed by at the time and says, well, you happen to be right. You come with me. So like, if you've been boasting for 24 years is not necessary wisdom.
Sir, I was not boasting. 1, 2, I don't call anybody whippersnapper. 3, I never assume that I am right. Have a good afternoon. I don't know that that is humorous. I don't know why people assume these things about me. It's not so. I have a point of view and I hold it. I don't want to be right. Never been right. I learn from mistakes. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Long time no hear.
Well, I hear you all the time.
I start talking to you. I start talking to you to ignore people. You hear my mind? It's not a voice you've been giving me.
No, it's not about this. It's anyway. Go ahead. Sir, it makes constructive criticism makes me better.
Okay. Now, there's a lot of things that contributed to the Democratic Labor Party's massive defeat. And you know what? They were the main destroyers. You know, and what I'm going to say, I want it to be noted for any future reminder to me. I hope that none of them who were at Waterford that night when the attack was made on Miss Marty, none ever try to seek political office again. Because anytime you see that kind of behavior, somebody should have either gotten up or walk away. And by doing that, maybe some more would have followed. But they all sat there. I mean, what they're trying to do is to introduce antiquated political tactics in today's world. The young people are falling for that. They're not falling for it at all. And they're not only educated, they're very, very sensible. I know of people close to me who, under any circumstances, would have gone to vote B, voted it before, voted for the B, before even a second thought. And the right. Now, look at this. In a matter, in less than 2 weeks, Ms. Marley can sit and have discussions with the unions about pay increase in this kind of situation that we're in. And for a government who have collected the most taxes ever in the history of this island, bluntly tell the people, tell the unions, don't come to me about not paying increase. We ain't talk about anything else. All of that are insults to the people. You don't tell your employers that kind of things. But I wanted to go a step further. We have been producing a lot of lawyers. There are certain things that I heard that I hope one of these lawyers, whether established or new, take up a case to the people of this country. Because the things that I heard happen, I don't think it should go without somebody paying the price for it. I just don't feel.
But as Peter asked on Tuesday, isn't voting them out of office the price that they pay for it?
No, that's enough. Not enough. The same way
Hold on. Go ahead. Finish the topic.
I ain't gonna get there then.
No, because you see, this is what I was about
to
say.
No, I can't get it back. You know, I'm not very diplomatic.
No, I know that. But this is okay. So, which is why I'll help you here. Because I know what you're getting at. So, if I walk into Jordan Supermarket and I pick up a tin of corned beef and I walk out with it, I have a tin of corned beef. No, hold on. Because I've heard the argument presented. So I could present it. I ain't read your mind. I know where you're going. I am not a mind reader either. A lady I got married to tell me that I shouldn't read her mind. No matter that what I say happen, but I shouldn't read her mind. I should wait till it happen. So here it is. A man walks into Jordan Supermarket, he pick up a can of corned beef, he walk outside with it. He gets stopped on the pavement and he say, oh, I forget to pay for it. Say, you have money to pay for it? He reach in his pocket and he can't find money to pay for it. So he arrest him for stealing because he has it in his hand. He did not pay for it. He outside and he don't have money to pay for it. Okay? No, that's why he is get charged with it.
Okay.
If you cannot prove that the person took it, you could accuse them, you could hold them up to ridicule and scorn, whatever. If you can't prove it, in a court of law, they will walk. Because let me point this out to you. It depends on what the law says, how it is followed, and how it is executed. Let me tell you two things that I know for sure happened in my lifetime. Eric Gehry was the premier of Grenada when the British government was in charge of the finances of that country. The parliament passed money to be used for a specific purpose. I think it was education. The premier, Eric Gehry, took the money, or some of it, and bought a grand piano for his residence. He was removed from office for squandermania. He was not arrested and charged for thieving because he broke the financial rules, which was he used the money for the purpose for which it was not intended. So the penalty he paid was they took him out of office. The people voted him back, but they took him out of office. That was the penalty he paid. That's one that I want to put on the table, okay? To show you what happens when you break rules and depends on what the law says. Yeah, go ahead.
One more thing.
Right.
I want Miss Marley to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. All the projects that the last government has started that people will benefit from, like the police station at
St. Thomas.
Yes, and these
St. Thomas, yeah.
Finish it. Finish them. And when you have finished them, invite them to the opening. And I would like, because this thing that I have said before, too, and it will stop a lot of people arguing over trivial things, like the police station at Hastings that's being constructed now, on the plaque,
mm-hmm.
put on it, started by and the minister's name and finished
completed under
right. I would like her to do it. I invite them to your opening and show them that you're not like them. And I can tell you something, Dennis. You see Mayor? Right now she won't mind me calling she Mayor, although she's Prime Minister. She's a people's person. She have done something that say what you like, you cannot deny the fact that she's always there with the people, especially the young people. And I can tell you this. If she put off these things, she can be Prime Minister for a long, long, long time. And then stopping it, already she has showed signs of it, and she has been very honest and frank with the people. She indicated that there's a possibility that she would have gone to the IMF. She didn't tell you she ain't going to. You see, that's the hallmark of great honesty. She will survive. You have a nice day.
You too, sir. Good hearing you again. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hello, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
I'm checking on a few matters I have concern about.
Mm-hmm.
What will happen, in your opinion, if these contracts are signed when the houses are operative? Will they retract them or will they go through?
If they have to be ratified by cabinet, if they have to be ratified by government, it's an area of gray that I've been trying to find out on, because the cabinet was in effect the government of Barbados. And therefore, if they sign the contract, I'm trying to find out from those constitutional experts. I noticed the opposition senator, Caswell Franklin, says it can be challenged because they have to pass enabling legislation in a certain time. I presume that some of them can and will be challenged.
Yeah. And secondly, how come that the port have been existent from 61 and all of a sudden you want a cruise pair manager? Crucial lines were coming here even before the port opened. And we have been able to do a very good job, I think. Our tourist product and our service is outstanding. And I find it strange that you want Sandy a cruise pair manager.
Because there's been a change in the management operations of the port. I think they're trying to separate the cargo handling aspect of the port from the cruise handling of the port.
I heard that many years ago.
I was told they were going to actually set up a whole different port of entry at one point.
Only a red herring. mean, that had been discussed years ago, and nothing happened to bring some of the ships across by number two shed.
Right.
And it still was a ship pair because it's only when the cruise lines did not use them that we used cargo there. The other concern is mine is we are in a very tight plight economically, and it beats me how we cannot think about increasing the head tax, which have not been increased for many years. I know that the cruise line first reaction is that they withdraw the ships.
Yep.
But in light of our situation, they can have a little pity on us because it's years and years now that $8 per head was there. And nothing has ever been done to try to push it forward some more.
I think in an effort to woo cruise visitors and not antagonize, because in a lot of cases it's the cruise directors and the cruise lines that that object. Huh? And once upon a time, you had various cruise lines operating in the region. The problem that I've seen now is that it seems that one business owns almost all the cruise traffic going through various parts of the world. They have the different names still operating, Cunard and Carnival, but they're all owned by an umbrella company. So you you basically can't even say play one off against the other.
But
I agree that the whole question of home porting, how much you charge, head tax, is something we need to look at. Travel is one of the big revenue generators in the world. And it's the reason why cruise ships are building larger and larger ships. Not only to take more people, but to give them more opportunities while they're on the sea. So it means that a lot of the on-land attractions are now becoming less attractive. Because why would you have a water slide in the port, for example, if you have one on the ship? What would get you off the ship to do it? Mountain climbing. Yeah, you can have hockey, golf, all sorts of things on the ship. So, and even entertainment, which is the other big revenue generator. So you have to find a way to work with it.
That's quite logical.
Yeah, but
that
port head is one that we got to look at. Yep.
To mention, is we are talking about the removal of all plastic. But what about straws?
Yes. We used to have paper straws at one point, but they didn't last very long. Straws and styrofoam. So you see packaging? Packaging is a big deal. We have a lot of plastics. We have a lot of styrofoam. We have a lot of packaging equipment that we just have there once it's finished. We'll always have plastic straws until we come up with some other synthetic one, and then we find out that that gives us some ailment.
Right. They all do eventually.
Eventually, yes. Our bodies are not made for all the synthetic stuff, apparently, but we've been consuming it. You're absolutely correct, sir. But good points as usual. In particular, the port is something I'm very concerned about, sir.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of money to be made from cruise lines and transshipments.
Another point we should do is make an all-out drive to make sure all passengers disembark. There's some who don't get off the ship.
At all, yeah.
And we have to use some strategy, even within the port of itself, of trying to get them come off for some reason. Even if it's like a wrong report, have a rum and coke or something. But we have to look at that because a good number, I can't remember the figure now, but a fair number stays on the ship and don't come off.
There's a gentleman who used to call this program from time to time who said he was a barber. And he actually gave his name as Mark. He said that when you come into a port, because he said he used to be at sea, you should see activity. You should see people drinking, music playing, bars open rather than closed warehouses, because it encourages you to come off, especially with the scent of, food and spices in the air. It encourages you to get off the ship and engage. And I supported him in that totally, sir. Thank you for your contributions. We head into the news. Someone says, nonsense, if they can't prove it's from legal means, lock them up. Let me give you the second story I was going to give the caller, and it's this. in the Bahamas, where they have the Declaration of Assets law, and you have to declare your assets. The Prime Minister at the time, Sir Lyndon Pendlin, who declared his assets, and Bahamas at the time had the largest number per capita of millionaires in Parliament, was asked how his assets grew by over $1 million when his salary was $60,000 a year. And he chuckled and said, wise investments, wise investments. He was elected and elected and elected and elected. The latest from Starcom Network News, the lunchtime edition is next. The Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks goes till 1 o'clock. The email says, Dennis, I really try to keep away from political discussions with and about partisan persons and topics. However, I dare say something about the port and airport. The more we allow the airlines and shipping lines to handle our cargo and passengers, the better run facilities and more profit we will make. Most of the major ports in the Caribbean Basin, who handle millions more tons of cargo than us, have entire piers operated by the lines themselves with more gantry canes than can fit on the entire Spring Garden Highway. I don't want it to get a political discussion, but we have no money to properly outfit our ports and airports to reach airport to reach their full potential. However, the major worldwide players in the shipping and airline industry are looking for partnerships. Let's use them to our benefits. Or benefit. I think you will have support from my colleague, Mr. Wickham, on that. He said so on a couple of occasions that we should privatize the port and seaport. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Hello, ma'am, and how are you?
Oh, I'm just recovering from the elections.
Oh, you had too much. I didn't see you at the official opening of Parliament from my vantage point. I usually see you sometimes mingling with the uniform. The troops seem to like tall men in uniform.
Have been pulled your leg. Well, you are a tall man.
I will stop pulling at your leg. There are no laws passed about harassment, so I have to behave. How are you, ma'am?
No. I will never charge you. Trust me on that one. You could tell your wife that too, but I think she already knows that. I would never charge you. your wife looked me right in the eye and told me.
Go ahead.
You can try all your.
Go ahead. I need to introduce her to a few more people. Go ahead. Tell me, man. Tell me.
You're a lovable creature. That's why. You're one of mine. You'll always be a lovable creature to women.
Thank you. I thank you, ma'am.
Especially on Saturdays when you play your music. Oh, Lord.
Okay. Behave. All right. Let's behave.
Yeah, I'll behave.
What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? First of all, I'd like you to have one of the women at VOB, a very pretty woman that looks like me. I'd like her to give you and KB a big hug and a kiss for me, since you are too busy to see me personally.
I don't know why they would tell you that, but okay. I will pass the message on. Secondly,
I would like to give my congratulations. This is going to be very difficult because, you know, I know the new prime minister as my baby sister. We've been together alone. We've had conversations alone together. And I've been waiting for this day. When I first came to Barbados in 2001, I was attracted to the new prime minister. And I knew one day she'd be prime minister of this country. I just felt she had the substance for the job, and I'm very delighted. I mean, I'm just recovering. I knew it was going to happen. I said it was going to happen numerous times on Voice of Barbados, but to see it become a reality, you have no idea how I feel. I wish her well. I wish her health. And I know she's going to do the right thing for the people of Barbados. You know, I have a lot of acquaintances in Barbados, but there's very few people I really consider my close friends. And the same could be true for you and many others who are seen in the limelight. You know, but there are people we do get close to. And I'll tell you, one day I couldn't find a bus. There was no buses, no taxis. and no one I knew were passing by that street, when suddenly a car stopped, told me to get in, and took me exactly where I needed to go. It's not only happened one time, but twice with the same person. And it's almost like it was a spiritual connection that told me that, give me a title for Mia, because I don't want to be disrespectful, but I'm just, it's like calling your daughter the prime minister of the country. You know, I don't want to be disrespectful. So, Dennis,
she's Prime Minister Molly. Listen, I don't think, yesterday someone said to me in the parliament yard that one of the things that attracted them to the prime minister was the fact that she could mingle with, as we say, the higher-ups, and then she could mingle with the others. And I said to them, yeah, turn a hat around and sit on a stone somewhere. And there's something I'll always remember. The East Coast, the party monarch held on the East Coast, and Miss Motley was then the Minister of Education, Youth Affairs and Culture, and she was sitting on the ground in a group of people with a hat turned backwards.
That's right.
I was sitting in the booth in our broadcast point. My now station manager, then head of news and public affairs, David, was sitting outside chatting with her during the news, just prior to the news, and said to us, we go to Miss Motley when we come to the news. So he was asking how things were going and all the rest. And there was this rumor that she was getting married, and David was, you know, pestering her about it or teasing her about it. So he asked her, so is there any truth to the rumor you get married? And she looked at him and said, you proposing to me, David? Are we? We were in the booth having a fit. But David, you know, quietly went off to the break with a chuckle. But it was so smooth. I mean, you know, we just sat there, and you know, you know, Mr. Ellis, he always is after a story, you know. So how?
You mean David?
Yes, I mean Mr. Ellis.
David.
No, I went to Mr. David. Ellis because I mean I'm talking about the professional journalist
a
story, as opposed to David having a conversation with Mia. Okay, this was the head of news talking to the minister, but he had to throw in the little twist. So is there any truth to rumor you gave by it? I mean, without batting an eyelid, she just went, you proposing, David?
I love it.
I mean, we were dying in the booth because, you know, we didn't know whether to cut or whether to just let it go, but we were just laughing. But that's the kind of, I have to tell you, the thing about having that type of personality, either private or public, is that people see a human side of you and perhaps are more prone to forgive your humanity than those that they don't see in the same light. It is a curious thing about the way we treat authority figures.
Exactly.
You know, we hold them in esteem. We treat them in a certain way. But when we see a human side to them, it changes the complexion.
Yeah, it embraces it. But yeah. Anyways, Dennis, I have a big surprise. I know I keep making surprises, but you have to take into consideration my age and, you know, getting around. But I will definitely see you guys and surprise you.
I will look forward to it. I always welcome contact, physical contact of a warm and loving nature. Brastex, good afternoon. I get one more call in, I'm told. Hello.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Ma'am. Good afternoon.
Sir. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm calling in connection with a conversation I overheard last Wednesday on your program. Mm-hmm. A gentleman was speaking about the election of a bishop in the Anglican Church. Mm-hmm. And in the end, the conversation went on that in the voting, the previous vote ballots that was had, that it was the voice of the people. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little concerned with that as an Anglican, because two persons from each church on synod voting, say like the two from my church, they could not be speaking for me.
Okay.
And in dealing with the Anglican Church, I have found out that in some ways they act sometimes just like the government.
Contrary to the wishes of the people?
And I would say that in voting, I am sorry that it wasn't a way with the Constitution in the diocese changing in a way that all Anglicans
would
could
get
have
a chance
voice.
To vote. Well, ma'am, yes. You see, one of the things you have to do is try to see if you could make those changes, because in the long run, to me, the open division does not speak well for the practice of religion.
Yes,
it does not speak. It doesn't speak well for this brotherhood, forgiveness, and coming together as one. And if no,
that
you're laughing,
like,
ma'am.
No,
but if
say,
as an institution,
like, do as I say, but not
as I
do.
Yeah, because yeah. If as an institution, the church cannot show by example mm-hmm. what other people should be, non-Christians or like Peter calls it, non-believers. If you can't show by example that this is the better way to do it, why would anybody follow you?
Right. So I'm saying that I'm sorry that everybody could not vote.
Have a vote.
So then, just as we have to accept whatever government gets the most votes out of the two we have, and we accept that and we move on.
We have to accept the same in the church?
Whatever in the church, whoever was selected, mm-hmm. and I had made my vote, mm-hmm. you say it's God's will and you move on. But this thing to me is makes you feel depressed in a way that every 5 minutes you're out there. You should be setting an example. The church should make a difference. And then we're out there just like the politicians. And I am not comfortable with that. But then again, I'm hoping tomorrow that a decision will be made, and whichever way it goes,
may it be the Lord's will.
God's will.
May it be the Lord's will.
And let us move on. But
well
I
said,
really
ma'am.
Could not.
Well said.
I could not let that conversation last week. It didn't sit well with me that it was the people's voice.
Thank
it
you,
was
ma'am.
Not.
It there was
two
not.
Persons from each church on synod voting, and the two at my church cannot speak for me.
For you. Thank you very much, ma'am, for saying that. Thank you for your contributions on this, the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Thanks to Graham Vaughan and Kevin Hines for taking care of things technical. I am sure that during the course of the coming week, we will have more discussions as we head into Monday's mini budget. And we look forward to hearing from you. On behalf of the team, I'm Dennis Johnson. Good afternoon.